originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
Amen here. Hey, by your command. What are you talking about? And welcome to Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac. I'm going to be joined in just a couple minutes by Aaron Douglas, who stars as Chief Tyrrell on a new series. And
Do you want me to play that little intro?
Go ahead. Go play it again. I like that. I like being called His Eminence. On the ready? All right. Sean's GF. I got a girlfriend in the chat.
Presenting His Eminence, our Imperious Leader.
Wow. Speak, Centillion. And classic. Yeah. And anyway, and we're going to talk about the show again. I just wanted to touch on the State Union a little bit. I thought it was touching where the Iraqi voter got up and hugged the mother of the soldier that was killed in action.
By your command.
Whoa, there you go. Oh, now the Salons are attacking the State of the Union. Not only did the Democrats didn't like it, but the Salons didn't like that speech either. What the hell? Anyway, I'm going to be... And wow, the chat room's filling up like a rocket. And I'm waiting until I get more people getting in. A lot of people complained last week. I start rolling before everybody can get in the chat room, so we're going to wait. And I want to go through. Actually, today was the biggest announcement in science fiction history. Star Trek Enterprise was canceled today.
Aw, too bad.
It was canceled the first series in the new run of the Star Trek franchise. Actually, was canceled prematurely. And it's the first series not to run the full seven seasons. It ran four. And it says here, UPN cancels Enterprise. UPN and Paramount Network Television jointly announced today that its low-rated Star Trek Enterprise has been canceled after four seasons. This will be the final season of Star Trek Enterprise and UPN, the company said. The series finale will air on May 13th when Star Trek Enterprise ends its run and will mark the first time since 1987 that no new Trek series will appear on the air. So... anyway, Enterprise becomes premature. Let me see. All the previous Trek spinoff series, included The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, have completed seven season runs, and it brought in Manny Coto to re-energize the Enterprise's storylines with episodes that harken back to the original series. Last year, the series attempted an ambitious season-long story arc centering around the hunt for the Zindi. And just the franchise just needs a break, and this is going to give it its break a couple of years, and they'll probably bring it back in some form. And other than that, and I'm going to hit on the Battlestar Galactica. Sees another ratings increase. This is from our friend Michael Hinman over at Sci-Fi Portal. Fans hoping to see a second season of Battlestar Galactica from the Sci-Fi Channel might just get their wish. Sources from Sci-Fi Portal had reported that a pickup was almost guaranteed as long as the ratings for the fourth episode, Act of Contrition, and didn't plummet last week. The episode didn't plummet. In fact, the ratings actually went up over last week's Bastille Day. The 10 p.m. showing of a two-parter pulled in some 3 million viewers to help Galactica earn a 2.5 rating for the night. Those numbers kept it ahead of its lead-in show. Stargate Atlantis, which earned a 2.4 rating for 2.9 million viewers. Stargate SG-1 had 2.5 million viewers for a 2.1 rating. So... and the first two episodes of 33 and Water were shown back-to-back last month after a lot of media hype and rave reviews. Those two episodes are a 2.6 rating. So, anyway, the it's sad to see Enterprise go. You know, I And it's television. Things happen. They move on in television. And I think we're ready for Aaron Douglas. Ready for him? All right. Con's going to get some music for our esteemed guest. Now, wait a minute. You already introduced me as the Imperious Leader. You better demo with him. Anyway, they go through some of the ratings. SG1 from last week did a 2.1 household rating, which is excellent cable. Anything over 1 in cable is considered great. I know in the years of the WWE, they used to do 3.9, 4.5. But anything over 1 is considered great for cable. Stargate Atlantis did a 2.4 household rating. And Battlestar Galactica did a 2.5. So as the night went on, the ratings inched up, and so the amount of viewers and everything else. And like I said before, the show is doing pretty good, neck and neck with the 18 to 30 demographics, head-to-head with the WWE. They've been placing 1 and 2 in those demographics.
Someone has another message.
Uh-oh, here we go.
See that the humans remain entertained until the end.
Wow. Very good.
Did you hear what he said?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, very good. Is he on the line? Can I talk to him? Turn up the mic. There you go. Aaron, are you there? Oh.
In the seventh millennium of time, a tribe of humanoids engaged in a terrifying conflict against a race of machines. The humans lost. Now, led by their last surviving warship, the mighty Battlestar Galactica, a handful of survivors move slowly across the heavens in search of their ancestral brothers. A tribe of humans, known through ancient records to be located somewhere on a distant, shining planet. A planet called Earth.
Aaron, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go. A little old school intro for you there.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, I made sure he demoted you because he introduced me as the Imperious Leader. I don't want to be demoted by you. Anyway.
I haven't heard that. I tell you, I've heard that once in probably the last 20 years, and that was at boot camp just before the miniseries.
Really? They played the original show's music at the boot camp? It's interesting.
Well, they showed us at the boot camp. They brought out the first episode of the original series, and they showed that to everybody. And there was a lot of people that had never seen it, but I grew up with it, so I've seen all those old shows.
Yeah. I mean, it still has its place, but I mean, it was a great series for probably half of the shows were good, and the other half were just garbage. You know what I mean?
Well, the Dukes of Hazzard was pretty damn good in the 80s, too, right? And so was the Love Boat and Magnum P.I., but now it's kind of, wow.
Of course, the Dukes are bringing them back with, Jessica Simpson playing Daisy Duke. Hey, that's not bad. It's anytime you see her in a short little jean shorts, it's good for me, you know what I mean?
It'll be a good show to watch. If you turn the sound down, I think it'll be good to watch.
Now, unless I hope they don't do a Dukes of Galactica type of thing, will they? No? Y'all ride around in a big long...
The Dukes go to space.
The Dukes go to space. Can we jump into the Vipers from the side? The windows doesn't roll back. The doors don't open. Nothing.
And you can have Edward Olmos play Uncle Jesse in one of overalls.
Eddie would be Cooter, for sure. Eddie is not Uncle Jesse.
Really?
Ty would be Uncle Jesse, the curmudgeon kind of guy.
Oh, wait a minute. He would play the Cylons.
Eddie would be Cooter, for sure.
The Cylons will play Enos, won't they? They play the...
yeah.
And then who'd play Uncle... Boss Hogg, probably... what's his name?
Hogg.
Michael Hogan. Ty, huh?
I was thinking... Well, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Who would be Boss Hogg? I don't know.
You got any fat people on that show? I don't think so.
We don't have any fat people on our show. I'm the fattest guy on the show.
Oh, what are you talking about? You're having all the sex. What are you talking about? You're with it with Boomer and having sex, although she's a Cylon and everything. But
yeah.
But
she's a hockey stick with hair, so it just makes me look even fatter. Grace is like 85 pounds and 5'11". It's freaky.
I saw in the lowdown where they interviewed her about, God, she's thin. You all are in pretty good shape, especially go through that boot camp and everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, they ran us crazy for a couple of hours, so that was about it. And the rest of the time we were just sort of pretending.
Really?
But it was fun.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, I want to again welcome you to the show and everything. I do have a little sound clip that I was provided with by it's a little scratchy. I don't know if I'm up. It was that scene from the miniseries you're with Edward Olmos about talking about the crew members that were killed in the vent of the landing bay. Remember
the 42nd scene?
Yes. That was excellent because you combined that with. I like how he never looked at you until the end. I mean, he was looking up wherever he was doing, looking at the board or whatever. And then 42nd, it's like you mix sadness with anger. You're sad at the guys who are all dead, and you're mad at Ty for making him invent the thing. It was an incredible scene.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate that. Yeah, no, I'm particularly proud of that one. Whenever I run into people on the street or at conventions and all that kind of stuff, everybody brings up that scene, and it's been used as a clip in numerous sort of things to sort of introduce me or just introduce the show.
Yeah, it's
a lot
excellent.
Of people use that clip.
And then, almost sitting there, he gets in your face and everything. It's just like, man, I thought he was going to haul off and hit you or something like that.
you never know. He just might. The way he is.
Yeah, he's a very intense actor, apparently. I mean, now,
great.
I got to compliment all of you. You're all... like into your roles. I mean, some shows you watch, like you can tell they're just going through the motions. But especially you, you're like living your role on that show.
Yeah.
You are Tyrell. You know what I mean? I mean, it's.
I think that I am Tyrell because I think a lot of the credit has to go to Mike Reimer, the director of the mini, and David Icke for sure. Because in the original script for the mini series, Tyrell. He wasn't really a big character. He didn't have a lot to do. And I'm a big ad lib guy. I'm kind of like, sort of, I go to set, and if the character is just sort of not really fleshed out, I'll just start ad libbing and going until somebody tells me to stop. Mm-hmm. And for those guys were sort of, bless their hearts, wise enough to kind of what they call, turn Aaron on and get out of his way. Mm-hmm. And so they really gave me free reign and all the leeway in the world to just kind of go and after literally like on day two they started going, okay, well let's put Aaron in this. Aaron, come here, you're not in this scene, but I want you to go out there and say something. And they just, I'd make something up on the spot as I am wont to do, and I'd come back after cut and they'd say that was great, okay, do that again. And so them really giving me the freedom to go and kind of make him my own. So he really is a reflection of just how I see the character, and he wasn't really specifically written a certain way. He was just kind of an extra character in the miniseries, and now he's grown into what he's grown into. And I give those two guys the credit for sort of letting me go, and I'm profoundly appreciative to Michael and David for allowing me to do what I do, and for them to appreciate it and to let me continue to do it. And now they're writing really good stuff. I mean, by the time we got into episode 2 and 3 of season one, the writers, Bradley and Ron, they really had Tyrell pegged, and it got to the point where they would write what I would say, what me, Aaron, would say is Tyrell is going to say, and I wouldn't even have to... I wouldn't change the words at all. It would just, I'd say what was on the page because it was just really what would have normally come out of my mouth, what I would have changed it to.
Yeah, wow.
It's very cool. I give those guys all the credit in the world. They're tremendous, tremendous writers and visionaries to sort of let me go and be nuts.
Yeah, well, it's like I posted on one of the, I think it's sci-fi.com's board. I mean, as much to the writers as, you're the ones that bring these characters to life. I mean, they could write the words or give you encouragement. It's up to you all to, make the characters come to life. I mean,
well,
really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and that's, it's an interesting thing because the show is so well written, but at the same time, the casting, I think, is really what makes this show so great. You look at everybody on the show is a strong actor, and I talked to Ron about this towards the end of the last season, and I was just saying, how is it is for you guys as writers to know... To believe in the character, to believe in the actors that you have. And he said it's huge because he believes on Battlestar that he and the writers can write any scene and give it to any one of the actors and they will pull it off and they will make it great. Whereas in some of the shows that he's done in the past, they've had to write, and he's been involved in
things where they've had to write around an actor and go, you know, that dialogue's a little too heavy, deep, and real, and we can't really give it to this person and can't give it to that person. We need to be really careful about what we do. Hmm. So, that's just a big pat on the back for all of us.
And, yeah.
And they enjoy writing for us, and we enjoy saying it. So, yeah.
Well, I know. I mean, the show's been great. I mean, I refer to it as like West Wing meets Galactica. I mean, it's really the from the early years of West Wing. I mean, the last couple of years have been kind of, but I mean, it seems like a good mix of political intrigue as well as the science fiction. Not too heavy in the sci-fi, but I mean, just enough to make it stand out from the rest of the shows. You know, and the music and the everything else. I mean, they really it's an incredible difference between what we're used to seeing in sci-fi and what we are seeing now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've been watching I'm like you guys in North America. I've only seen as many as have been on TV, so I haven't seen past episode 4.
Yeah.
But I remember I watched it this last weekend and went, "You know what? This is a show that I would watch even if I wasn't in it." And that says a lot because I don't watch a lot of TV.
Now, you watch your own work. I know a lot of actors, a lot of people I've talked to say, oh, I don't want to watch myself because I'd pick apart my performance. Like James Garner, he was on Tonight Show a few weeks ago, and he says he hasn't watched, never watches himself because he'll pick apart his performance. What about you?
Yeah, I watch it when it's all done. I don't watch dailies, and I don't watch playback on set and stuff like that, usually just because I don't really care. Mm-hmm. If the director doesn't like what I'm doing, he'll tell me to do it differently, and so I don't. And as an actor, you kind of know if you're hitting it or not. You know if you're being real or not. So I don't really get too bent out of trying to watch it and figure it out. You get really self-conscious if you do that. A lot of people love to go watch the playback right away. They run over to the monitor and they watch the playback and see what they do. But then it gets too self-conscious. Like, oh, you know, I need to turn my face to the camera more. I need to pick up the pen on that line, and then that's, you're not acting. Then you're just, well, then you are acting, and you're not being real. So I watch my shows when it comes out on TV or if it's in the theaters. I like to go watch it just to see more, to see what they kept and what they killed, and what got left out and what got put in, and that sort of thing. So,
well, you've been in a lot of movies yourself. I mean, you've been in Catwoman. You know, I mean, it wasn't really a blockbuster, but it did fairly well. I mean, I think it did better in Europe than it did over here. I mean, they had been being in Halle Berry. I mean, anytime you've been in a movie with her, it's a plus, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I had a really good year 2003. Yeah. I did 6 feature films, and a lot of them were just, you know, 2 lines or something like that. But, you know, those things are more for the experience of doing it. There's a casting director in town, Corinne Mayers, in Vancouver, who just is an amazing, amazing woman and loves my work for God, whatever reason. And whenever they sort of, I'll go out and audition for, like, with Battlestar, I originally auditioned for Apollo, and I got called back for Gaeta.
Wow.
I originally auditioned for Apollo in, like, November.
Mm-hmm.
I got called back in January, I think it was, for Gaeta, and didn't get Gaeta, and then they were sitting around talking about, well, who should get what, and where are we going to put so-and-so, and I know Mike Reimer really wanted to use me somewhere, and somebody, I think it was one of Corinne or one of her assistants said, well, they were going, well, who for Chief Tyrrell, and one of them said, well, how about Aaron, and they went, oh, God, yeah, absolutely. So she does that a lot with me. I'll go out for a movie and audition for a really big part, and it'll go to, you know, like Harrison Ford or whatever, the part that I really had no chance of ever getting. And when they come down to the smaller roles and stuff, and sort of the pickup little things, she tells the producers, you know, if you need a cop to say this or you need a guy to do that, this is your guy. You don't even need to audition him. And so I've been very blessed and very fortunate in that way, and she's been great for me. So yeah, a lot of those movies are smaller roles, but
it gives you exposure and everything.
Yeah, exposure, and you get to hang out with some pretty amazing people.
Like Chronicles of Riddick, you hung out with Vin Diesel. I mean,
yeah, hang out with Vin for a couple of weeks.
There you go.
And iRobot, hang out with Will Smith, who's one of the best people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, they filmed part of that in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, iRobot, because I remember I was back there, and the streets were I'm from Chicago, and I was back there, I think, about a year or two ago, whatever it was, and they had the part of the streets blocked off, and they said, oh, we're here filming a Will Smith movie. I'm like, so I imagine that had to be iRobot, I would think. I don't know.
How long ago was that?
About a year ago. No, maybe. I don't know, because they said it was a Will Smith movie. I figured it maybe was that one, or maybe there's one that's coming with him in it.
Well, yeah, probably one that's coming, because it did Robot in, while back. iRobot was in Vancouver.
Oh, and then, well, you're in Walking Tall, right, with
yeah.
The Rock? That'd be cool, huh?
Yeah.
And, of course, this site is the home of the wrestling show, so, you know, The Rock is one of
them. Which part did you play in that movie?
Who did you play in the Walking Tall?
I was
Stick Man, right?
I was the Stick Man.
There you go.
That starts the first fight.
There you go.
And Rock catches the guy cheating.
Yeah, and then you're in X-Men 2, correct?
Yeah, X-2. Nice little small little part that was like 15 days to shoot and two lines worth.
Now, how is that? I mean, it's got to be those days on the set. When I was young, when I was 12 years old, I tore out for all my children, and that was a nightmare because I hated sitting around there doing nothing. You know, how you guys do it? You guys play cards or what?
Oh, I tell you, everybody's like, you know, the glamour. You get compensated well and all that stuff, but literally, the actual amount of film that rolls on a day of shooting is probably. You know, you're there for 14 hours, and you'll probably actually roll on maybe 5-10 minutes of film. The rest of the time, you're standing around waiting.
Wow.
You're waiting and waiting and waiting. And I think Chronicles of Riddick, I had 3 days where I didn't even come out of my trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I show up at 7 a.m., 9 o'clock at night, they knock on the door and go, you're wrapped.
Wow.
So you sit there for 14 hours, you know, you snack, you go to craft services. And I mean, it could be worse. It could be mopping floors or... You know, digging ditches, but...
I'm working at a casino in Las Vegas. Oh, wait, that's what I do.
In Las Vegas. Or getting shot at in Iraq, you know.
There you go.
It could always be worse.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, saving the free world from tyranny, but, yeah, no. I mean, it could always be worse.
Yeah. Now, you're also in the Lizzie McGuire movie. Unfortunately, I passed on that movie.
Yeah, I passed on that one, too.
Oh, okay. And then Final Destination 2.
Yeah, Final Destination 2, that was a lot of fun.
You're Deputy Steve, right?
Deputy Steve.
And then you're in Stealing Sinatra, which I thought was an excellent movie, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was wonderful, because they hit that whole thing with Sinatra Jr. That was, hearing the story about, you know, he may have cooked up his own kidnapping to get attention from his father. But anyway, that was an outstanding movie.
Yeah, that one was, that was like 3-4 years ago now.
I've done my research here.
You are all over it. Yeah. That was cold. I remember that. All I remember about that is it was so freaking cold. It was unbelievable.
Really?
It was really, really cold.
Actually, chat room's going nuts. Of course, it's all Galactica here, but we're getting some questions from the chat room here. They're all demanding. I was trying to not talk the whole time about Galactica, hoping to more your career, but they're going nuts. I hope you don't mind. I mean,
I'm here for Battlestar's the big thing right now, so absolutely, I'd be happy to talk to all these people.
Now, a lot of people are saying that there's the rumor about Dirk Benedict supposedly was going to be part of the cliffhanger. Do you know anything about that or?
I have no idea what actually took place or what went down or any of that stuff. Mm. The only thing I do know is that in one of the scripts that I got that was handed out was one of the characters was called Dirk. And I think in like parentheses it was Dirk Benedict. I think it was one of those hopeful things that they wanted to put him in, just much like they had Richard come in. They wanted to do a guest cameo with Dirk, and I don't know, I honestly have no clue of what went on behind the scenes or anything like that. I just know that I got my script and a bunch of the actors got together and said, oh, wouldn't it be fun, wouldn't it be cool, we're just big fans. And I mean, I've met Richard on several occasions and hung out with him, and we've gone out and gotten really silly and been crazy, and he's one of the best guys you will ever meet, and I've learned so much from him just talking to him about conventions and fans and the show and TV and life and everything. I mean, he's just a really tremendous wealth of knowledge and a great, great human being. And so we were all excited to meet Dirk as well and talk about that. But I have no idea why he didn't come or they didn't ask him to. I don't know. I have no idea what happened. But I believe, because I saw a script with his name in it, I believe there was an intention or a hope to have him.
Well, they could be referring
that,
to
I have no idea.
They could have been referring to Dirk Diggler too, for that matter. Anyway,
they could have been referring to Dirk Diggler, absolutely. Yeah. But then Eddie would have gotten jealous, and the show would have shut down, and you know, he would have driven his trailer back.
He doesn't
to
have
LA,
envy.
No,
almost doesn't have envy, does he?
Hey Sean, oh. If it's okay, I don't want to chime in on your show.
Okay, just one question though.
Okay, I just want to ask Aaron, how you doing? I used to be a fan of the Battlestar Galactica back in the day. I just want to know. You were talking about Richard Hatch a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Does him and Dirk Benedict do they like the new show? Do they embrace it like as they should? Or do they have some kind of maybe reservations about how the show's going? Do they like how their characters are portrayed? I mean, if you can answer that question, that's all I wanted to ask. And good luck on the show. Thanks.
Thanks, dude. To be honest with you, I have no idea, and I would never, ever, ever presume to speak for either of them. I've never met Dirk, and I really honestly don't know his thoughts towards it. I know he has, he's had coffee with Katie a couple of times, and they've talked about, Starbuck, but past that, I have no idea. Richard's back. He's doing, a different character, obviously, on the show, and, I talked to him, and he seems to be happy to be doing it, and he seems to really enjoy his character. I mean, they've given him some really cool things to do, and he's a really interesting character, Zarek. I think initially, I don't want to put words in his mouth. I haven't really spoken to him about this, but I think initially he was sort of, tentative and wary about it, but, in all the conversations I've ever had with him, he's nothing but positive, nothing but supportive, and nothing but a great guy for the show. So you'd really have to ask him about that stuff.
I have a question. Yeah, we do. I have a
he's
question
got a
from
lot
the
fans on this.
Oh yeah, the chat room's lit up, and so is the site.
A couple girls want your phone number. There,
yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, Aaron, a lot of girls want your number. Some guys want it too, but we. No. Anyway, we got a question. It says from Michael Hinman from Sci-Fi Portal. What does it feel like to be in a show that is caused Star Trek to get canceled? What are your feelings about Enterprise getting canceled?
Enterprise got canceled?
Yeah, it was canceled today. UPN announced that they're canceling it. May 13th is going to be the finale of Enterprise.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I mean, just a lot of the credits being applied to Galactica because the ratings have blitted away some of the fans from Star Trek. But I mean, I don't know. I just think the franchise needs a rest because we've been beat over the head for about 40 years with Star Trek. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I like the Star Trek stuff. I think it's so different from the Galactica show. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean. And I talked to Ron about this. It's got such a different take on the sci-fi, outer space sort of traveling around, exploring worlds thing. They're really much more. And this is my sort of take on it. Is Star Trek is more sort of really in the future when Earth has kind of got its crap together, and they're going to try to figure out other worlds. It's coming from this sort of Earth-based going out there, and Battlestar's sort of out there coming back, and it's like Star Trek's Earth's got its crap together, and they're going to see what everything else is going on because we've got Earth figured out, and people are living in somewhat harmony, and we've put aside all of the racial and all of that silly different religious differences, and now we're going to go explore the galaxy.
Yeah.
So I really think it's two different things. I don't know. I really enjoy. I like the Star Trek fan.
Oh yeah,
I think they do. I have friends who are just like Trekkie nut jobs, and I took my brother to the Star Trek
experience
thing in the Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
Last year,
yeah,
we had a great time.
I've been in it several times. I'm known as Cleon number three. No, I'm dressed up. If you go there, a lot of people who aren't part of that thing dress up like Cleons and everything else. I was sitting at the bar at Quark's, and I was talking to some guy, and I said, "Oh, are you part of the thing? You shouldn't be drinking." He goes, "Oh no, I'm just a fan." And he's dressed up like a
Cleon. That's great. I love that stuff.
Yeah,
I saw thousands of them at Comic-Con this past year.
Oh, really?
Great. I got pictures.
Yeah.
I was wandering around going, ooh, can I get my picture taken with you? It was so cool. I got my picture taken with this Borg, this guy who was dressed up like a Borg who made it himself, like, over the previous 2 weeks, and it was just unbelievable. Really? The lights in the arm and everything. I mean, this guy was great. It was hilarious. And with a guy who was a predator from the movie Predator, but he was only like 5'3".
Wow.
It was hilarious.
Wow.
Now, this little tiny predator guy.
Serious question from the chat room. Says Seal asks, what is it like kissing Grace Park?
What's it like kissing Grace Park? You know what? You know what? I will give somebody $1,000 to ask Grace Park what it's like to kiss her.
There you go.
This is unbelievable.
Is that the golfer Grace Park?
No, it's the actress.
She's hot too, though.
Yes.
I kissed Grace Park, the golfer, one time, and she beat me over the head with her putter.
I'm kidding.
I've never what's it like kissing? You know, it's funny. It's such a funny thing when people ask you about the romantic scenes and stuff on the show, because if you were ever on set watching a scene like that, you would realize just how unromantic it is, because you've got 100 people standing around, and you've done it 37 times, and which is, you know, a lot of guys would be going, oh, kiss her 37 times and give my arm to do it. But, you know, you got to remember, you've done it again and again and again, and you got a camera guy that's going, okay, you need to put your weight on your left foot, you need to turn your head like this, and you need to drop that shoulder and stand back and lean back and all of this kind of stuff. And then you got Grace saying no tongue. And, no, I'm kidding. But it's like, it's not this big romantic thing. The lights are hot, and, I mean, of course there could be worse things, but...
Yeah. Well, did she eat an onion sandwich before the kissing scenes? You know what I mean? That's got to be, to you. There you go.
Oh, no. I am like, brush my teeth, gum, 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 action, spit my gum out, kiss her, put more gum in.
You
know, I've had my run-ins with Eddie and the two.
You're not kissing him, are you?
What's that?
You're not kissing Adama, are you?
No. But there's scenes where Eddie's talking to me, and he's 3 inches from my face, and he just went outside for
a
tuna and onion and garlic sandwich, and he's melting my face, and he's just laughing at me.
Yeah, he knows you got to smell his breath.
I'll get him back. But no, I mean, Grace and I are really good friends, and I'm very close with her her new husband. Congratulations, Grace.
Oh,
Bill.
Congratulations, yes.
He's a great guy, it's you know, obviously anytime you get to kiss a beautiful woman is a wonderful thing, but it's not the big, you know, romantic sort of let's hold each other and gaze lovingly into each other's eyes thing that everybody thinks it might be.
The question from Eli, how'd you like to see, what would you like to see happen to Tyrell as the show goes forward?
What would I like to see happen to Tyrell as the show goes forward?
Yeah, I think Commander
asked me
Tyrell.
This online the other day, and I said, I would like him to get his own ship, single-handedly save the universe, be dropped off on a planet filled with beautiful women that he has to repopulate.
Oh, there you go.
But,
there you go.
And then some woman gave me crap for it.
Oh.
I would like to explore more of the military camaraderie, and I want
Tyrell
to kind of come out of his sort of the little bit of a fog that he's in, the blind love, get out of that and start to stand on his own 2 feet and step away from the Cylon encounter that he's been dealing with.
There you go.
And what I really, really would like, and I keep telling the writers this, and I don't know where they're going with it, but I would think it would be really cool as an actor. I think the ultimate scene would be for Tyrell to find out that Boomer's a Cylon and then be the one to kill her.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
I think that would just be the most unbelievable thing, that he's, you know, the torn of you're madly in love with this woman, but yet you have to pull the trigger or strangle her or whatever. I mean, it's just gruesome and horrific.
Yeah.
But, it's just make-believe, right?
Well, especially
but I think as an actor, that would be a real... that would be
demented.
A really cool thing.
Yeah, yeah, you're kind of demented, but yeah, that's all right. we're in Vegas, so we're all demented if we live in this town. But
I go to Vegas a lot. Well, the cool thing would be like, Tyrell kills Boomer, and then goes back and he starts reporting that he's killed Boomer, and then another Boomer shows up. Everybody thinks Tyrell's nuts, so they throw him in the nut job
for
a while, and he has to explain to everybody that nobody believes him. I think that would be fun.
That'd be cool, because you don't know how many there are, and they keep popping up all the time.
He keeps killing them, but more keep coming back, just after he just said, okay, I just killed her, and I shut her at the airlock, and then another one walks in and goes, oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Well, I mean, especially with, at the end of the season, something happens, and with her and Adama, and it, could spill over into next year. I mean, but somebody's asking about the contracts now. Has everybody got options, I assume, with Sci-Fi? Did they pick up the show for a second season?
I have nobody. I have no idea. I know that cast number 1 through 7, so Eddie through Grace, are options ad infinitum, like 5 or 6 years.
At their discretion or at the actors?
No. It's all, in the studio's discretion.
Wow.
It's always up to the network, right?
Yeah. Wow.
I just signed last week or the week before a multi-year deal.
Wow.
And I think. I don't want to talk out of turn,
no.
I think a lot of the other main people that were left off of that 1 through 7 have signed. I think that once the Sci-Fi, Universal, USA, NBC thing sort of merged, NBC's fallen in love with the show. Bonnie Hammer's been unbelievably supportive. Mark Stern has been unbelievably supportive. They're all great, and they're now that they see the value of all the characters and the value of the show and how well it's doing everything, they're really sort of stepping up to get everybody on board to be here long term. Should the show go long term? So I'm excited about signing and being a part of it long term. And everybody that I've spoken to, whether they're signed or not. Whether they're in negotiations or whether they're already signed, is thrilled to be having the opportunity to come back. So it's a positive thing.
How would you feel like if this show lasts, say, go along with like with Star Trek series 7 years? How would you feel having like your career will be defined by Chief Tyrell? I mean, how would you feel about that?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, right? I mean, on one hand, I thought about this when the miniseries did really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought like at some point back in the day when he first got his deal, Brent Spiner, LeVar Burton, whoever, must have gone, holy crap, this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm at home, I'm looking in the mirror and going, you're Chief Tyrell on the Battlestar Galactica show. How cool is that? And those guys, I thought, they might not be so giddy about it that I am, but at some point I think people must go, wow, that's really kind of cool. It'd be like if I got the next James Bond. I go, forever you will go down in history as one of the James Bonds. That's pretty darn cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the one hand, I mean, I just, I think, guys like LeVar and guys like Brent, I mean, their work is tremendous. I have huge respect for those guys. It's fantastic. Then that's the upside. You get to work on a great show with great writers and have a whole lot of fun for 7 years. And make a nice living and put your kid through school and buy a house. But the other side of it is you get out of that and you're concerned that you're going to be known as that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Shatner's
all
always
of the original Star Trek guys are you're that guy.
Shatner's always going to be known as Kirk, although he's had a pretty good renaissance over there in Boston Legal, but still, I mean, he's always going to be known as Kirk.
Yeah, he'll always be known as Kirk, but, I mean, like Bill Shatner's, he's Bill Shatner, right? I mean, he's such an enigma and all of that he can kind of get away with all of these going out and doing other things, and people will buy it and stuff just because it's kind of cool and kitschy to see him do other things, which is. But I mean, some of the other guys will always be like Leonard Nimoy will always be Spock, which is great. I mean, he's fantastic, but. The other side of it. I mean, I'm Tyrell. I'd be happy to be Tyrell for the next few years. I mean, that'd be great. I love getting stopped on the street and going, hey, aren't you that guy? Did I go to school with you? And then once I explained to them where they saw me, I mean, that feels pretty good to me.
Yeah. Now, a question for the chairman is, how would you feel if the show went over to NBC? And I believe there's a plan to run the show on during the summer on NBC, correct?
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's news to me. I have no idea.
Yeah,
I mean, I literally have no idea. I don't know about season 2. I don't know about pickup. I don't know about anything. I don't know who's running the show when. I heard the other day from a friend of mine that USA Channel is going to pick it up and run it. If the show goes over to NBC, that'd be fantastic. I mean, the more the merrier. like the miniseries airing on NBC was a great boost. There was a lot of people got to see the show that normally wouldn't get to see the show, and that's what it's about for me. I know a lot of the fans are concerned that it's going to get, it's going to get, how do I put this, major network
exposure.
Well, there's the major network exposure, but it's also the major network sort of stifled.
Oh, well, they cut some scenes from the miniseries, you know.
That was mostly for time.
Yeah,
because there's
a 2-hour slot, and they had a 4-hour miniseries to cram in there. I mean, that made sense. And then I did read where USA's or no, Sci-Fi is going to air like a marathon and sometime in March of the series.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and then USA is going to run the miniseries also, I believe, in March. I'm not sure of the dates, but USA is going to run that. And I think A&E is going to run some episodes, too. So
wow.
Everybody's latching on to this thing. They're all going to
run it. It works. It's great.
Yeah. And let me see. Where are we at? USA Challenge for sure. Now, we talk about the cast members and everything. Now, of the people on the show, like Callie, I mean, Who are the people that you take under your wing? I mean, you have a lot of acting experience. Who of the younger cast members do you take along with you, kind of give them advice or, take extra care with?
Oh, nobody.
Nobody?
Nobody.
Wow.
Everybody's good. I would never be so presumptuous to tell somebody how they need to do whatever they're doing. Nothing. There are times where people come up and talk to me, and there's times where I go up and talk to other people. I mean, it's just nobody. Of all the sets I've been on, and it's such a weird cliche thing to say, but it's a great set, and everybody respects everybody, and everybody wholeheartedly believes in each other. Mm-hmm. And you really don't find yourself feeling the need to say anything to anybody, and nobody really ever says anything to you. I rarely get directed, which kind of makes me feel weird sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody tell me something, please. But no news is good news in this. And people like Nikki Klein, she's a really, really good actor, and she's a good friend of mine. And Alonzo Oyarzun is one of my closest friends now. We go out all the time and hang out and just be silly. And he's a very good actor. All those deck guys that I talk to all the time that Tyrell always interacts with are just really, they're just really good actors. And there's nothing. I mean, we just go and have fun. That's it. There's no taking under their wing. I mean, in the show, Tyrell's kind of a father figure crew chief to them, and in life, when the camera's not rolling, Aaron is kind of the father figure to those guys. It's like Nikki's like my little sister, and I sort of protect her fiercely wherever we go. If we're out for dinner or out at the club or whatever, and people are getting nosy, I get protective because she's my little girl. it's fun. But it's sort of a reflection of the show. I would never let her get into trouble, and Alonzo's the same way. And for the officers, they can go do whatever the heck they want. I don't really care.
Now, a question from the chat room. They want to know, what's Aaron's first? What's your first on-set memory from Galactica?
First on-set memory from Galactica?
Yeah. Was it bumping into a toaster or no?
Wow, first on-set memory from Galactica. That would be back in the miniseries. There's the working memory and there's not working memory. There's the when we went to boot camp, which was still 2 weeks away from shooting, and they gave us a tour of the set. And we were walking around the set, and I just remember looking at this thing going, this is unbelievable. And then they walked us over to the hangar deck, and when I came around the corner and saw the old-time Viper sitting there, I just almost fell to my knees. I thought, this is so cool. And you walk up to it and sort of reach out to touch it, and you don't want to quite touch it, but is it real? Or it's that sort of reverential sort of weird thing. Those are the memories of just looking at that thing and remember being a kid watching it on TV and going, this is so cool.
Yeah.
In terms of shooting, gosh, I don't remember. That's 2 years ago and 12 shows ago.
Yeah, that's a lot to remember.
Yeah. The first on-set memory, I don't know. From the miniseries, I'm not...
I heard a
story. You know what it was?
What?
The first scene we shot was the scene where Tyrell takes Boomer into the tool room right off the bat, off the beginning of the miniseries, where they go in, and he's barking at her, and she's barking at him. As soon as the door closed, they start ripping each other's clothes off.
Yeah, that was
the first scene we shot.
Yeah, it's a pretty intense scene there, too. A little kinky they're doing in the supply room there, but it's all right, you know.
Well, yeah, you got to do it somewhere, right?
Yeah. Now, I heard a story about, I think Mary McDonnell, she was on something, and she said that she got lost on that set because, you know, the set of the Galactica is so cavernous that they took a turn and they wound up getting lost. Stories like that are true? People can get lost on that set?
Yeah, particularly when it was back. Right now we're shooting at... we're shooting at a different studio than when we shot the miniseries. When we shot the miniseries, the stages were huge, like huge, aircraft hangar huge. And the CIC and all the corridors around it were set up as one big thing. So it was literally like walking through a ship. You'd just go and go and go and go down this corridor and turn left, turn right, go down another corridor, turn left, turn right. Mm-hmm. And if you would walk around and you'd get lost going in circles. And you'd come back to the place that you started and go, wasn't I already here? Yeah, I think it was already here. It was huge. Yeah, absolutely.
A question from Michael Hinman. He asked, how long did it take you to learn your lines for iRobot? Sarcastic.
There's a shot.
Yeah, I mean, who does he think he is there? He runs a pretty good sci-fi site, so we'll leave him alone. it was a Shaman asked, how do you feel about the episodes already airing in the UK, having already aired over in the UK versus over here?
I'm sorry, what was the last one?
How do you feel about the show has already aired over in the United Kingdom?
Oh, and that it hasn't aired in the
United States, correct.
To be honest with you, I don't really have an opinion about that.
Because they paid part of some money. They put some money into the show.
But
so.
Sky TV is 50-50 with USA Universal. So.
And part of that deal was they'd get the first dibs on the airing of the show, right?
First dibs on airing of the show, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I know the boards have gone crazy with people over in the UK watching it and reporting on it, and then people in the States going, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I would imagine it wasn't for them putting up the money. I mean, the show probably wouldn't have been on the air.
It probably wouldn't have gone in the first place, no.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And
I'm a big...
Whatever it takes.
I have a Scottish background, so I'm a big... I'm a big fan of the UK.
Yeah. A question from Gemini. She says, did you ever sit in the Viper?
You know what? No, I haven't. And I purposefully haven't. Because Terrell's not a pilot.
Wow.
I've gotten in there and kind of walked around and poked around and gotten up on the ladder and poked around and stuff like that. But I've never actually sat down in one. I will one of these times, sort of. But little, I don't know, it's kind of a superstitious thing. Yeah. It's just, I... haven't done that, no.
Wow. And then LaRocque asked, was there a scene shot in water where he takes a bloody towel from Boxy? I think that's a lot of BS questions there. What are we asking here?
Oh, no.
Is that true?
I know exactly. LaRocque, something like that, LaRocque?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know who that is. Hey, LaRocque, how you doing?
So that's a legitimate question?
Oh, absolutely. No, yeah, we shot it and it got... left out. I think it was due to time or something. I don't know why it got left out, but yeah, no, it was, where was it? It was in the water. I think it was a water episode where Tyrell goes and talks to Boomer right at the end, and then, she leaves, Boxy comes in, and he's holding this towel, and, Tyrell goes, and the towel's got the red rust from the thing all over it, and he asks Tyrell, Boxy, where did you get that? And he goes, I found it. And he takes it away from him, and yeah, no, absolutely, no, that was in there.
Okay, and then Cheater asks, I really want to know if Aaron is a wrench or has any real experience around an aircraft.
No, absolutely not.
No.
None, zero. I am press the gas, car goes, press brake, car stops.
Yeah, it's the same thing with me. I hear a noise in the car, I turn up the radio.
I go to professionals, hire a pro, man, that's it. Just go, my car's making a noise, it goes vroom, vroom, vroom. And, you know, figure it out from there. No, absolutely. I leave that to the pros.
Now, what have you, during the downtime between the series and, you know, now presumably, what have you been doing? Have you been in any roles we should be keeping an eye out for? Or?
I just finished The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Wow.
A feature film with Laura Linney and Tom Wilkinson and the wonderful Campbell Scott. And before that, I did just another one of those smaller roles in Man About Town, the new Gina Gershon, Mike Binder, Ben Affleck movie.
Wow. And then,
Cal Penn, who's a great guy, Cal Penn.
Really. Now, Michael Hogan, now he's a big star in Canada, correct? I mean, I remember when they first said it was featuring Michael Hogan, and everybody they say he's a huge star up there, isn't he? Correct?
Well, yeah, he's very well known. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's been worked on everything for the last 30 years, and he's a very talented dude. So he works all the time. Yeah, absolutely. People definitely recognize him. He's a very recognizable guy.
Yeah. Now, how is it being an engineer who, first of all, doesn't have a Scottish accent and doesn't wear a visor? That's got to be clear. Hey, Captain, you can't take any more.
Because people say, oh, what's the show? And they go, what character do you play? And I always just say, you ever watch the original Star Trek? Yeah. You know, Scotty? I'm kind of like Scotty from the original Star Trek, but, you know, younger and I don't have the accent. Oh, okay, I get it.
You don't have the visor.
That's really explain them.
And you don't have the visor from Geordi from...
And I don't have the visor. No, I'm post-op.
Yeah. And then, but still, it's got to be cool. I mean, you know, if this show lasted as many years as the Next Generation, I mean, you're going to be thought of in that line. I mean, it's got to be pretty cool, though. You got Doohan, LeVar Burton, and yourself. I mean, it's, you know.
Oh, I would never put myself in those guys' company. I would never presume to do that. But, no, absolutely. If it keeps going, then, yeah, totally. I mean, those guys are institutions.
I want to ask you a question real quick. What's your reaction if it actually the re-airing of the first season re-airs on NBC during the summer? Are you going to be doing cartwheels on your front lawn?
You know what? I do the work and let people do whatever they want with it. I don't get into the big, you know, I don't make any more money off it, so I don't really care, you know? The big networks are fun and fine and everything like that, and it's more exposure, so that's good. That's positive. But in terms of anything else, I just like, you know, good for you. I'm thrilled. I know for a fact that that NBC is loves the show, and
seems
they're
like it.
Tremendously supportive,
yeah.
And that's great.
Actually,
and if they pick it up, great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge. But.
Well, You would think a pickup would be pretty much a given. I mean, the ratings went up from last week, and you know, just the fans are all over that board and everything. I would imagine, you know, I don't want to jinx anything, but I mean, I would imagine it's a cinch.
Well, you know, you're thinking positively,
yeah.
And you'd like to hope, but
yeah.
You never, ever, ever, ever know.
Yeah,
you
these
really
networks.
Don't know until I'm sitting in my trailer and someone's knocking on my door, going, "Aaron, they're ready for you." I just will not believe the show is coming back.
Yeah, no,
question
about
it,
hockey.
The way it goes.
Hockey. They ask what's your favorite hockey team?
Oh, Vancouver Canucks.
Really? How do you feel about the strike? This strike is a nightmare. I mean, I'm from Chicago, and it's you know, where are the Blackhawks? I mean, they're all sitting at home, knitting sweaters or whatever they're doing. It's horrible.
Yeah, no, it's brutal. That's a whole other show. I could talk to you for 3 hours about that. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I don't know why they just don't sell these labor strikes. I mean, it's crazy.
What?
It's
Vancouver Canucks.
It's such a difficult thing. It's billionaires against millionaires, and I mean that's oversimplifying it. But
hey, Aaron,
yeah.
I'm a diehard Red Wings fan because I'm from Detroit, and
really?
I'm sorry to hear you're from Vancouver.
I'm a season ticket Canucks. Canucks season ticket holder.
What did
so.
You think about that thing with Todd Bertuzzi last year?
Oh man, that's. I mean, oh god, there's another 4 hour show for you.
Oh no, a 4 hour show.
Oh yeah, no, I could go on and on and on about the Todd Bertuzzi
thing.
Hey,
really go Red Wings. Stevie Eisenman's gonna get another ring hopefully soon.
Well, you show sure, they're on strike.
Anyway, no one's losing.
Now a lot of people are asking how you know we're talking about the show the whole time. You know, you sit back and think, wow, you know, when you first got the script, you think Galactica, this thing is didn't last it barely last a year. But what did you think when you first got the script for Galactica?
When I first got the miniseries,
yeah, when you thought Battlestar Galactica, I'm not going to do this. You know, I mean, what'd you think when you first got the script? I mean,
well, by the time I got the script, I had already gotten the job, so
wow.
I was pretty excited about doing it,
yeah.
And I was interested to see what they were going to do and where they were going to go with it. So I got the script and read through it and went, you know what, this is pretty good, and that sort of solidified my decision to be a part of it. So. And normally, I'm not a big fan of remakes, and I'm not a big fan of making really great books into movies. Just sort of let them be great on their own. But you know, this is so different from the original show that it's you separate the two and go one is one and one is the other, and don't compare them and just let them both be great on their own merit.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said, we said last week. I mean, the premises are basically the same, but everything else is a little is different. It's a completely different series.
Totally. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like the biggest thing that I always compare it to is like Lord of the Rings. I mean, those books are so great, and I was a little offended when they were going to make movies out of it, but the movies are so good.
Yeah.
They're so well done.
Yeah.
But they're different from the books. They're so different. I mean, Tom Bombadil. Where the hell's Tom Bombadil? I mean, you could go on and on and on. But the movies are so good.
Yeah.
It could be 19 hours long. And so you just let them each stand on their own and have their own merit and let them be amazing, wonderful stories in their own genre and in their own right.
Yeah, same thing with the Dune miniseries that Sci-Fi's have on. The last two have been great. I don't know if you've seen the Dune miniseries on Sci-Fi.
I haven't.
No.
I the only thing I've ever seen of Dune is the movie from, 20 years ago?
Oh, with Sting and Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, they remade it, but it's been excellent. They did Children of Dune, and wow. You know, they had William Hurt, I believe, was in it, and then I forget who was in the second one, the Children of Dune. But, they're doing a great job over at Sci-Fi Channel. I mean, they're giving us all these movies. It's just Earthsea and some of the others.
They've got, in the last little bit, people have really come on board on the sci-fi in the network side of things and just done tremendous things, tremendous work, and the people at the top have a great vision and they let people do their deal and get out of their way, and it's great. I mean, they are really, really, really talented people over there for sure.
Now, the question, on the set, are you all pretty much in character? Is Edward almost like he stays in character? Or
no.
When they cut, does he come out? Or
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah.
He drops out for
really?
Sure. Eddie, if you ever get a chance to go to set and watch Eddie work, you'd love it. Do
really?
It. Because he is just a fun, laughy, just a jokey round. I mean, he's a great, great guy. He's a little bit of a prankster, so you got to be careful because he'll nail you. But
really?
No, everybody's just about it. Like, Katie and I, whenever we rarely have scenes together, but whenever we do, we don't get a lot of work done because we're just like...
Yeah.
It's really funny. We'll ad lib and we'll talk dirty and just freak everybody out, and it gets really funny.
Yeah, well, you have to keep a light on the set. I mean,
absolutely. That's kind of my job. The camera guys are big Simpsons fans, and I'm a big Simpsons fan too. So
yeah.
In the middle, at the end of the day, when it's starting to get really late and everybody's really tired, and the producers are starting to get grouchy and stuff like that, and there's a lot of tension on the set. As soon as somebody says action, I'll look right into the camera and give them a little bit of a Ralph Wiggumism or something,
yeah.
And then everybody will fall apart laughing, and producers will give me a glare. But, you know, it lightens the mood, and everybody gets back to work and feels better, and you're more productive for the next half hour.
And
so.
Probably the last question, this is, what's your dream role? What role do you want to play? It doesn't have to be, you know, what role do you want to play?
Wow. What role would I want to play?
I mean, what kind of genre? I mean, you like sci-fi? You want to do a Western, or...?
No, you know what I'd really like to do? I would really like to do a movie like Thin Red Line, or Band of Brothers, or Private Ryan.
Uh-huh.
I'd really like to do an old-time, old-school war movie where you take 15 guys, put them through a hardcore boot camp, and then make a movie with them for 6 to 18 months and go through all of that. I've done it on a TV show, but you're not there every single day, and you get to go home at night. I'd like to see what it's like to go live in England for 18 months and work with the same guys and just have that camaraderie. Because I think I talked to Bamber about Band of Brothers, and he was only there for a little bit of time. But I did talk to Joel Ransom, who was the DP on Band of Brothers, and he just said it was the most amazing experience that he's ever been a part of. And I would love to do something like that.
Really? Now we have about a minute left. Any final words for the viewers, fans out there?
For my super fans,
yes.
I would love to say hi to Zenu. Thank you very much for all your support. You're fantastic. And Koenig rules, because he does rule. He's king of the world. Hinman, I don't know what your deal is. I really don't. The little shot about iRobot and the shots online, too. You got a great sight, people say, but I don't know. You've been nothing but rude to me.
Wow.
Other than that, I just want to thank everybody for listening and being out there and being great and being fantastic and supporting me and coming online and asking me all kinds of questions. And
I wish we had you in the studio. Next time, if you ever come to Vegas, we'll sit you down here and let the listener, your viewers call in and ask you some questions.
I come to Vegas all the time.
Really?
I would love to be in studio in Vegas. It'd be
now,
the best time ever.
How much do we have to pay you to get Almost to come on the show?
You know what? What you need to do is you need to phone back when the show's running.
I'm just kidding.
Find me on a night where I'm out with Eddie.
Oh,
and
really?
I'll get him on the show for 10 minutes.
Will he be liquored up or what?
No, I doubt it. I doubt it. But you don't need Eddie to be liquored up to be silly.
Yeah, I want to hear some of Miami Vice stories, you know. Now, what about the rumor about Don Johnson going to play Commander Kane before we go? I mean, that's been floated out there, too. I mean, I wish
Holy
they just
crap.
Get,
I have no idea.
I wish they'd get away from remaking the original episode, just, you know, go off. Because I think it's opened up a can of worms that, you know, I just...
Yeah, you know what? If you're going to make a new show, make a new show.
Exactly. Exactly.
And leave it at that. It stands on its own. The actors are great. The actors from the old show are great.
Yeah.
The actors from the new show are great.
Yeah.
You don't need to do a crossover.
Absolutely. Well, Aaron, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Not at all.
You have a good night.
You too.
Thank you. So say we all, right?
Huh?
So say we all.
So say we all. That's the first time I've ever said that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got to start saying more often.
Okay. So say we all.
So say we all. There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right,
ciao, dudes.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was Aaron Douglas from Battlestar.
It is dumb, imperious leader.
There you go. Oh, man, the silence don't shut up. They're coming after me.
It is dumb, imperious leader.
That means the show's over, I guess. But parting is such sweet sorrow. And it was a great show. The chat room was the fullest I've ever seen it. And the listeners were through the roof. Very good. I'm very well impressed. So next week, now I won't be here next week. I'm taking the show on hiatus for a week because the following week on the 16th, I'm going to come back, but be at 6 o'clock Pacific because some ass has to play hockey and can't produce the damn show. So I got to go in front of Saab's show and may boost his ratings by over email. It's smduwf@yahoo.com. So anyway... My email is smduwf@yahoo.com. So anyway, thank you very much, and thank you, Aaron Douglas, once again. Thank you, sci-fi fans out there. Stay tuned if you're going to listen to Wild Women in Vegas. Hopefully we'll give them a good lead-in audience there. I believe we might. And good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow. So say we all.